In your bulletin, you have a list. The family of Christ. And you have a line after each one. And sometimes people really like to make sure they get all the blanks filled in. So I'm going to give you that list really quickly here. Tamar dressed like a woman of the street. Rahab was a Canaanite woman of the night. Ruth was a Moabite. Bathsheba was an adulterer. Solomon broke every commandment. Rehoboam divided the kingdom. Manasseh filled Jerusalem with blood. And Jesus means Yahweh, the Lord saves. And I'm going to save the last one. We have different expectations for family, don't we? Than just our friends and people in the workplace. You know, what's really hard in family life is sometimes these are the phrases that are heard in those relationships. I can't believe you are my son. You are nothing but a disappointment. You will never amount to anything. You never get it right. Do I have to show you everything? You're not the person I married. Did those sound like from real life? Maybe not your life, and I hope not your life. But doesn't that sound like the life of people around us and sometimes within our own household? People don't measure up when we set the standards so high. It's not just that we're messy, but sometimes we stay broken. Being a father of two girls, you know, someone once told me long ago, and of course they were a friend, so they called me by my first name, and they said, Carl, you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your son-in-laws. There are things that are outside our power, isn't there? There are things that are outside our control. We can't control how people behave or their choices. All we can do is be a role model or an influence, and even in our failures, be a model of what it means to confess what we have done, to apologize, and to ask for forgiveness. But you would think, and the people did think, in the days of Christ, that the Messiah would come from a perfect line. There were two main attitudes in the days of Jesus. One was called Davidic and the other one was called Danielic. David and Daniel. Daniel, the priest, the servant of the Lord, honorable, and things like that. That Jesus would come in the priestly line, royal priestly line, and that way. And David, the king. Not the adulterer, not the murderer of Uriah, but David the king, the warrior king, the conqueror, the mighty one. That little guy that slew Goliath. Against all odds, he was always the winner. And people thought that that's what the Messiah would be. But he was born in a stable. Mary and Joseph were the earthly parents. What about that? And even when the guys came to the King Herod, you know, King Herod asked, well, what did they say when he talked to his advisors? Where's this new king supposed to be born? And they said, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, that little city, the smallest of the small. But out of you would come. Instead of the big city guy, smart guy, street smarts, city educated. Bethlehem wasn't much more producing than country bumpkins. You know? And so Matthew gives us a list, but it's not the list we think it would be. I gave you the highlights about Tamar. Tamar is kind of a sad story, an interesting story, and a shameful story all in one. You might remember it. She got married. Her husband died. The father, according to the custom, offered the second son. He dies. The father offers a third son. And then the father has another newborn son, and he tells Tamar, well, Tamar, you're going to have to wait until he's of age, and then you can marry him. Now, who wants a husband that's 20 years your junior, at least, you know? And so she chose not to. And taking matters into her own hands, she dressed up as a streetwalker. And here comes her father-in-law, and he doesn't recognize her. And she seduces him. And they bargain for the price, and she takes the price, and she goes to bed with him, and she ends up conceiving a child. And that's in the line of Jesus. The next woman that was on the list was Rahab. Rahab was she was a Canaanite. If that wasn't bad enough, she too kind of was a streetwalker. And she helped the spies when they came into the land. She hid them when they were coming to seek out what was going on in the land when the Israelites were to come. And so there she is in the lineage of Jesus. The next one is Ruth. Ruth is a Moabite. Moabites were famous for their false god. Now, we know the story of Ruth. She becomes a believer, and she's faithful to her husband, and that gives honor. And she's faithful as a daughter-in-law to Naomi. And you have that great speech of hers about, thy people shall be my people, and your God shall be mine. And she makes a covenant of faith to be faithful and true. And she ends up marrying Boaz. But Ruth is a Moabite. That's an outsider. That's of a different race in the line of Jesus. Bathsheba, there's always commentaries that wonder if she knew David walked the tall walls above, and she intentionally got naked and got in the water and just waited for him to take his nightly stroll so he would see her. But it never really tells us that information. I think that's just the way humans think. We're kind of a suspicious breed, aren't we? But we do know what happened in David's heart and David's mind. And David lusted after her, and she consented. And she gave in to his influence, because women didn't have influence in those days. And she conceived, and David arranged for her husband to be killed. Uriah the Hittite. What about that? Bathsheba gives birth to Solomon, who's in the line of Jesus. Now, sometimes when we think of Solomon, we think of the great wise man, the man that was given the wisdom that was unequaled in history. But the other thing about Solomon is he took in all those wives and concubines, and not only that, he had them bring in their false religions, their idolatry, and that infiltrated the city and his life. And he broke every commandment there is. And Solomon is in the line of Jesus. Then you have Rehoboam. Rehoboam is Solomon's son, and the sons did not get along, and therefore they divided the kingdom. And no longer did you have the 12 tribes, but you had the 10 and the 2. And the nation was split, and there became envy on both sides, and jealousy on both sides, and hate on both sides, and it was fed by the leadership. And Manasseh, who follows him, filled the city of Jerusalem with blood. Great slaughter of humans was done, almost like a genocide. That too did not honor God. And yet he is in the line of Jesus. And when we think of Jesus, the Lord God, the Emmanuel, God in the flesh, God incarnate, we don't think of such a human ancestry being part of that picture. And yet, that was Jesus' family. And so when Matthew gives us a list, and every seminary professor that I had said, never preach on a list of names. They said, that will be a real sleeper of a sermon. But when you think about it, the list means something. That included in the family of God are people who are unworthy. People in many ways like us. We break God's law. We ignore God's truth. We turn away from God's word. We ignore God's wisdom. We insist on doing things our way until it utterly fails. And then we say, help! You know, God work a miracle. As if we have a God in a bottle, a genie on command. We are not any different than the lineage. And Jesus came to save his people. He came to save the people of the world, which included his family. And that gives you and I hope. That as Christ came for the Rahabs and the Tamars and the Solomons, who did some good things, but other things he wasn't so smart. Isn't that like you? Smart in some things, but other things a little iffy. God brings his word of grace to us, a word of hope. That this is the Lord Jesus that saves us. People like them. People like us. Yahweh, the Lord saves, is our hope and our salvation. And so that last line on your bulletin, it's that Jesus, this list of our family in Matthew, it means everyone. It means everything to us. John 3:16, when it says, God so loved the world, that sounds so big and so abstract, doesn't it? But when we put our own name in there, God so loved Carl, God so loved Bill, Anita, Gwen, Doug, Jordan. Yeah, God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. It means everything. It means everyone. And that brings the joy of Christmas to the mountaintop truth and experience. That is such a joy to welcome the birth of a Savior who's willing to include someone like us into his family. And it's better than a warm fire on a winter's night. It's better than a hug when your heart feels empty. It's the forgiveness of our sins and the gift of eternal life. Amen.